The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, your list of Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And if you want, you can email me. That's easy to do as well. Just send an email to info@carm.org, and put in the subject line radio comment, radio question. And hopefully everything's working great. Whew. All right. We got callers coming in. Oh, and I got to do an article on that. Let's just jump on the line. Get to Alan from Virginia. Alan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, man. It is going. So what do you got, buddy?
I talked about it yesterday, and I saw you commented on it, but I wanted to hope if you could explain the now and not yet for everyone.
Yes, it's a theological perspective that deals with the now for God and not yet for us, and also deals with the now for us and the not yet for us. What that means by that is, for example, Jesus was on the cross, and Jesus bore our sin, but we didn't exist yet. So for Jesus, it was now, but it was not yet that we were alive. So the now and the not yet deals with time and deals with things that aren't, but will be. And so there's different places in Scripture that talk about this kind of a thing. And another one I'll go to is in, in Romans 8, 29 and 30. It's what it says. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now pay attention to the tense here. All these are past tense. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, we can understand that glorification is something that is future for our body. Now, there is a sense we can have the glory of God upon us and in us. So it can be understood in different ways. But the main idea here is to understand it's a good place of seeing that we are guaranteed the fullness of the resurrection, the fullness of all things. It is not yet for us here, but it's spoken of in the past tense. It's so sure. So the now and the not yet deals with differentiation between the actuality and potentiality, but the potentiality will become actuality, if that makes sense. Okay?
All right. I had another question, too. Was the blood of Jesus imputed to those before his birth?
Yes, imputed. So his blood is not imputed to us. What is imputed is our sin to him and his righteousness to us. It's called double imputation. To impute means to reckon to another's account. So it's a legal thing. So I could impute $10 to you by simply writing you a check, mailing it to you, you deposit it. Now you now have an imputation. And the word imputation doesn't really take that kind of a common meaning with us, and that's okay. You know, that's all right. But that's what it means. And so all sin, now I personally believe just of the elect, past, present, and future, were imputed to Christ, and he then paid for that sin on the cross and canceled the sin debt at the cross. according to Colossians 2:14. So it could not have been canceled for everybody, because if it's canceled for everybody, then no sin exists for anybody, and nobody could go to hell. So, and then that's with the imputation of our sin to him. That means people before the cross, during the cross, you know, Jesus' life, and after. That's us. And also, his righteousness is imputed to us. And when you can go there and you can find, let's see, Philippians 3:9, I believe it is. For not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And also Romans 4:5. For the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And legidzate is the word there. And to reckon to and to give to. Okay?
All right. I appreciate it, Matt.
Okay. Does that help?
Yep. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome so much. Well, God bless. All right. Now we have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mark from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor Matt. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Well, hey, I'm going to try to really condense this, but forgive me if I stumble on my words because I'm still processing it. But I've been a believer for, I would say, about like 8 years, and I'm not one to bounce around from church to church. I've only been to 3 churches in my life, but both in the first 2 instances, I left the church due to just relocation. However, I've been at my current church for about 3, almost 4 years, and
okay.
I've had a struggle with not growing in my discipleship. So I'll just get to the question here. So about 8 months ago, my pastor, he spoke on tithing and how that he believes that there's a specific 10% mandate, and he's used verses I'm sure you're familiar with, like the Malachi 3 passage, and other, you know, other passages in the Old Testament, like Melchizedek. However, I think the main verse that he likes to use whenever speaking about tithing is his claim that Jesus affirms the tithe in Matthew 23, when he's rebuking the Pharisees. And so long story short, I've had a conversation with the pastor, because, like I said earlier, I haven't been growing in my discipleship, and so I've been trying to learn how I can either host a discipleship group or anything like that. However, since I don't tithe a specific 10% amount, and it's against my own conviction to pretend like I do, because I doubt that he's checking people's, you know, their giving and things like that, but according to my conviction, I know I'm not tithing 10%, and so technically I'm not a partner of the church, and so in the eyes of the church, I'm not.
Hold on. So there's a status of being a partner of a church if you tithe 10%? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, to be a partner of the church, there's certain things that you have to have unity in.
So they use the term partner in the church regarding tithing? Do they?
Yes. To be a qualified leader, you have to be a partner of the church.
Oh, and then to be a partner, you have to tithe 10%. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yes. I would dust dust my shoes as I'm leaving that church.
Yeah.
Okay. In Mormonism, yeah. In order to get to the temple, you have to have a full 10% tithe of your income to the church. They have to know it. Then you're qualified to go into the temple to get the secret handshake, secret hugs. Nothing in the New Testament says we're obligated to tithe. In Matthew 23, they're still under the old covenant. And the legalists, the Pharisees, etc., they would tithe. They would boast in their tithing. Now, the new covenant is established with the death of Christ, Hebrews 8:13, Hebrews 9:15 through 16. There's no legality requiring us to tithe in the New Testament when the new covenant is in effect, which is after the death of Christ. You're free to tithe. You're free to give what you want, 10%, 100%, 5%, 1%, no percent. You do what you want before God. If they start saying, in order to be a partner of our church, you have to, you know, in order to work and do this and that, you have to have a 10% tithe of your income to the church, I'd say, where's the exit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After I talked to them and rebuked them and said, nothing in the New Testament requires that. And if you're going to say that tithing is something that is necessary because Jesus condemned the Pharisees how they tithed, and this is what you want to go to?
Right.
I wish people, you know, it just makes me mad. You know, there was George Mueller. He was the orphan king. He's my hero, and he died around 1898 or something like that. And he was a pastor for a while of a church, and the elders wanted him to pastor, and he was a good man. And he told them, and he said, look, I'll be the pastor of the church under a couple of conditions. And it was interesting stuff, but one of them, he said, was that you do not tell the congregation this, that he's living on the tithes that come into the box, that's how it was in England at the time, that there was a box in the church and that he would tithe. He wouldn't preach on it unless the text required it. And no one wants to let them know that he was living off of that. And he said, I'll know when it's time for me to leave, when the tithes stop. When God is putting on their heart. Now that's the answer. Not this idiocy. You got to partner with us. You got to have a 10% tithe. And then with a 10% tithe, the partnership, now you can do this and this in the church. You know, I just take a hymnal, put a rubber band around it so it doesn't, the pages don't come open, and then frisbee it up at the stage at them. Sorry, that's my attitude. Okay.
Yeah.
In love. Yeah. You could do it in love, though. Yeah.
Right. And so what's really disheartening is that I have spoken to this the pastor about it, and then recently he's brought up all of this again to the church, and he's saying he's rebooting small groups. And like I said earlier, I just feel like I haven't been growing. Like, I'm trying to do things myself, but even during the sermon, I just have more questions than I have answers. And so, so long story short, I went directly to him and asked, like, hey, can we meet and discuss this, you know, I just have a difference in opinion on generosity, but I still am, and this is going on week two now, and I still haven't gotten a call or anything like that. So I feel like there's some elements of neglect in the church as well, on top of this form of...
Could be. I mean, it could have been circumstances you're not aware of. It could be circumstances that got in the way of stuff. That happens. But,
that's true.
But I understand what you're saying. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
Look, brother.
And what's hard is that... Yeah.
Look. You're not obligated to tithe. Nothing in the New Testament requires it of you. But the implication of the people supporting the ministers is there. It doesn't say how much.
Yeah.
Now, we got a break, so hold on, okay? We'll get back. We'll talk more about this. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Mark from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mark, welcome back on.
Okay. Hey there.
You there?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So the break kind of stopped there, but let's see if we can continue if you want. Does that help at all?
Yeah, and so I would say the last element that I wanted to go over was that my wife goes there, and I've seen her grow a lot this past year because I think she really enjoys the community.
And so I guess my question is, how can I, like, have healthy conversations with her and, like, just kind of express my thoughts on the situation and that, you know, I would love for us to leave, because the worst thing I want to do is, or the last thing I want to do is just pull her out of the church and have that be detrimental to her growth as well. However, I have been visiting another church nearby that I really do like.
Well, what I would do is say that you talked to a guy named Slick on the radio, and he said that you need to change. See how that goes over, all right? And then when you give her the real reasons, it'll just sound better, because that sounds so bad. You what? What I would
we've already been talking about it, but
okay.
It's just also helpful hearing another opinion.
Yeah. Well, now, granted, I'm only hearing your side of what you say the pastor's doing. This bit about partnering at a certain monetary amount given, that really concerns me a great deal. I think that is very dangerous, and I don't approve of that at all. And that alone tells me that there seems to be a qualification manipulation based around money. And that's it. It should not be about that. It should be about your spirituality, your calling before God, and how the pastor can equip you in that and lift you up in that. And if that's not being met, then you need to move on. Well, I would, I'm different. I would call the pastor on the carpet on this and say, this isn't right. And then, you know, you leave if he doesn't change. And that's it. That's what I would do. And you tell your wife and you say, we need to go to a different church. I'm sorry, but we can't go to this one because, and we're not going to go to this one because you are the spiritual head in the family. And from what you've told me, I get it, and I agree with you, and hopefully she'll agree, and, you know, and you can do that, okay?
Got it.
Yeah.
So much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and you can, you know, you can let me know how it goes, hopefully. Your wife isn't too emotionally vested with people, you know.
Yeah, and I definitely will, and I think the timing is pretty intentional, because this up and coming Sunday, I believe the pastor is speaking on generosity again, and so, I think that this will naturally bring up conversation after church. I'll talk to her about it and we'll just move forward, but. I do appreciate it, and I can update you in the future.
Okay. Good. And let me know. You know, this is not an easy thing to do, and sometimes wives are more emotionally vested than we men are, and we can make decisions and move along. But from what you've told me, warning flags all over the place. So, okay.
Got it.
Partnering at a certain amount of money. Jeez.
Thanks for your time. Man.
All right, brother. God bless. Okay. All right. Wow. That's disturbing. Let's get to Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Janet, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. How are you tonight?
Melancholy, I think. I got to check.
Oh, really?
A little bit. You know, the obstreperous level is down. And melancholy is a little bit of excitement, because that last caller excited me a little bit. So, you know, people ask, how are you doing? I give them a detailed analysis, because I think it's more interesting.
Well, that's what I wanted, so that's good.
All right.
Hey, I want to ask you, let me tell you a little quick story and then kind of get your opinion on some stuff. So I don't have a church home or anything, but I visited this church a couple of times, and I tell you something, I just really, really, really felt the Spirit. I felt like they were on board with the scripture. They were just, you know, it was just wonderful. The praise and worship was wonderful. I left there just feeling like, oh my gosh, this is just a great place to be. The problem I'm having with it is culturally it's different from what I'm used to. It's not a diverse church. It's all white and I'm black. It's not a problem, but I just felt like, you know, in terms of having a community, that might feel a little different. The other thing is they're pretty much college age kids. They're probably From college to about 45 years old is probably the average age. I'm 60. So I just felt like I might not find people who have as many similarities to my life in that church as I would. But I loved it. I mean, the Spirit was really there. So I guess my question to you is, part of the question is, can you go to a church like that? I mean, is it wise to do that, or should you look for people that are like you?
What? Maybe God wants you there in order to share what your experience is. Maybe your blackness is something some white people need to be exposed to more. Maybe they need to hear what you've got to say. You just don't know. What I would do is just let the Lord just guide you. Say, Lord, you want me here, you know. And the things, I have an article, what things should we look for in a church, okay?
That's my next question,
Well, I got an article on karma. You can go look it up. But doctrinal issues, you can, you know, go to the website. And in fact, if you were to give me, if you knew the website, I could get it, I could look at it and tell you, you know, see if there's any good or bad stuff in there. You know,
oh man! See, I know the church name, but that's about it. You can't do it off that.
Yeah, I can't. Well, okay, let's try it. Let's try it right now, live.
Okay.
Let's do some sleuthing.
Okay.
All right. What's the name of the church?
Cool. Okay, it's got a strange name, but anyway, it's called Vintage.
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 Yeah, Vintage. Yeah.
And that's
Vintage.
It.
What? That's it. Okay. What city, state?
Oh, I'm sorry. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh. Learn how to spell Raleigh, North Carolina. Vintage downtown. Vintage church. There it is. There's I'm seeing something. Vintage church downtown, right? All right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Here we go. Come on. Hurry up. Okay. I'm impatient with my internet. Oh, they're hugging. Oh, that can't be good. Oh, look at that. it's a big white church. Is that it? It's got a white. Is it?
Yeah, it's white. That's it.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let the hugging slide for we Asperger's people. You hug me? Yeah. I'll let that go. All right, let's see. First thing I'm going to do is go to the pastors and staff.
Okay.
And what I'm looking for is any women pastors and elders, okay? And they have directors who are female, and that's fine. Let's see. Local pastor, worship director is a woman. Group pastors, a man. College director, woman. They may just call them director instead of pastor, so you gotta. I'd ask about that. Why are you going to the pastor?
Okay.
And I've got a break coming up,
so I'm gonna
Perfect. Well, good. Perfect timing. I'm gonna look at their statement of faith and their history and their beliefs during the break. Okay.
Okay.
So hold on. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay. Please stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Janet from Raleigh. Janet, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so I went through their stuff. Their statement of faith is good. It's really solid, and I really liked how in eschatology they didn't preach a particular view. And they said that he's coming back, though, and hell is eternal, et cetera. It seems like a good church. Seems like it's good.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've really been enjoying it, so I wanted to go. Is there anything else that I need to look for? Because I'm still kind of a visitor, so do I need to ask questions? Do I need to...
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Okay.
Say, what do you think of Matt Slick? And if they don't know who I am, get out of there, okay? That's it.
If they don't like you, get out of there, right?
If they don't like me. Well, that may be a good sign, though. If they don't like me, that might be a good sign. You want to look at it. I would recommend you go to the article there, what things to look for in a church. And
how do I do that again? Go to Karm?
Yeah, go to karm.org and just go to the search engine and just type in, what things to look for in a church? And you'll find it.
Okay.
What things should we look for in a church? And I have stuff in there, expect to find a good church, good doctrine. And I looked at her statement of faith. It seems pretty good. And I'm sure they have good moral integrity and things like that. So if any church denies the essentials, we have women pastors and elders, if they support homosexuality, that's a question I would ask them. You know, just say, what do you think about homosexuality, LGBTQ? If they say, well, we're for it, get out of there. If they say, well, you know, it's sinful, but we love them, you know, that kind of thing, that's okay. Here's a question that hardly nobody ever asks. Are unbelievers being paid to be in the worship team? Or any unbelievers in the worship team? I've been to a church where they actually paid an unbeliever to come on the worship team as a trumpeter. This happened in San Diego. And I never forgot that. I thought it was abhorrent. Require baptism for salvation? I assume they don't. And you want to ask if they teach preterism, universalism, annihilationism, positive confession. These are just things you're going to ask about. Soul sleep. You know, so there's a lot of stuff on that article that are worth just looking at. You could even print it up and take it to the church and say, just hide my name. A guy named Slick? And so... And then, you know, so you can read, you can look at that and just say, you got some questions, you know, and just, and anybody worth their salt will say, yeah, ask away, you know, oh, yeah, this and that. And that's what you want. If they're chicken to answer, then that's not good. Okay.
The only other question I had was pertaining to this, too, is they do a, you've probably heard of those, like small group Bible studies. They have communities of Bible studies that go along. I like that idea because I get to know people, you know, on a smaller level. Is that okay? Is that good? I can
of course
see good
it's
and
good.
Bad in it, but
oh, it's really good. It's good for people unless I go. Then it's a problem. Because I usually ruin it. I'll say one thing, and then they don't want to talk anymore because, you know, that's why I don't go to small groups for that reason. I can't say anything.
Right, you're talking about pre-trib, and they'll be oh, no, you've got to go.
Well, you know, I went to one church, and the pastor wanted me to, preach and teach and stuff like that. He goes, but I want you to go to Bible study of a small group fellowship for a while first. I said, okay, no problem. So I went, and I just decided not to say very much. I don't want to say too much. It's not about me. It's not about, I'm just not going to say anything. And, and they're doing great, you know, so after 2 months, they finally, one guy says, Matt, you just don't say much, you know, about a certain topic. He says, and by the way, Matt, you don't really talk much. I look over at my wife, and she actually said out loud, go ahead. And then that kind of, you know, like, so I gave a small answer for 30 seconds about something that related to it.
Uh-huh.
It changed the entire Bible study. And
then
they started asking me questions. And I didn't want that.
Oh, I see.
I'll tell you, if you know how to sound like you know what you're talking about, and you can say it with a raised eyebrow, one eyebrow, yeah, okay, they'll believe you.
That's scary, but anyway. Matt, this is great. I'm so excited because I was like, I hate to tell you about this church because I didn't want you to say anything and I couldn't go. I'm like, I'm going to mention it anyway.
But it's good. It looks good.
Good. I'm going to try to go. And I'm going to probably call you in a couple of weeks or something and just let you know how my experience has been.
Okay, here's one last thing. I need to put it in the article. See what kind of music they do. Do they do Hillsong? If they do, that's not good. Okay.
No, but you know what? They do. They don't have a choir. They have a praise team. They have four people, whatever. But they put the words on the big screen. Those words are so powerful. I don't even like the type of music. I'm black. I like, you know, whatever. But I'm going to go with this. But the words were so amazing on those songs. I was like, oh, this is on point. This is on point. I can worship to this.
You're a black person going to a white church. I want to be a white guy in a black church that's reformed. That's what I want. I'm dead serious. I do. Because white guys get preached, they go like this. They go, John 3:16 is a good verse. Let's look at it. And I'm like, no. And, you know, I like the life in the black church, you know, and people are just alive. I love that, you know. Get some excitement.
Well, my dream is to have diversity. I would love to have a mixture of everything. That's what I would really like, but whatever.
That's true.
Said, I'm probably there to bring some diversity to the church, maybe, you know.
Well, so, you sound like a good person for diversity, so... you know, I like you when you call and stuff like that. So good for you. Go check it out.
Yeah,
and
God's I'm excited.
God's gonna he'll use you. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so. That's the plan. That's what I really want to happen. So, you know, I think there's things for me to do. So definitely. But Amen. Yeah, I'm gonna keep you posted though and let you know how it goes.
All right. I want to know.
I'll call you back. Yep. Okay. Sounds okay. good, man. Well, you have a nice night, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, God bless you. Okay, we'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye. All right, I enjoyed that call. That was fun. Let's get to Luke from Washington. Luke, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, man. How are you?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
What is your opinion about dietary restrictions for Christians?
The what?
Do diverse? Christians have any dietary restrictions? Or like all foods are,
Dietary restrictions? No, they don't.
Yes.
No, Christians don't have dietary restrictions. Okay, not according to the Old Testament law. We're not under the law anymore. And you can go to Romans chapter 6, Romans 7, 1 through, no, Romans 7, yeah. Romans 7, 1 through 4. All right. And we have
Romans
died to the law in Christ. What's that?
Romans 14, right?
Well, no, Romans, yes, but Romans 7, 1 through 4, particularly verse 4, talks about who has died to Christ is no longer under the law. And so because we've died with Christ, Romans 6, 6, Romans 6, 8, then we are no longer obligated to live legalistically under the law. Romans 14, 1 through 12 talks about the ability of people to make decisions about what they want to eat and what day they want to worship on. We have that freedom there. We're no longer under the law. That's the point. There's no restrictions on what we can eat. Okay? However, the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 did recommend abstaining from things strangled and from blood. So we could talk about that, but what's going on? Okay? Anyway, go ahead.
That is for Jewish people, right? Acts chapter is still in Jewish. The church is not founded, right? The church is not formed at that time.
Well, it's Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, as well after the death and resurrection of Christ. So it's a recommendation, they said. It's your opinion. So it's not like it, this is what God says. If they had said that and it was in there, then that would have been carried a lot more weight. So. But no, there's no dietary restrictions for us, okay?
And the thing is, my question is, I grew up in the Orthodox Church. They have some restrictions. You cannot eat pork, some kind of restrictions in the church. When you fast before Good Friday, you cannot eat this kind of food, shellfish or pork.
Okay, but they don't have any right to tell you to what to eat, not to eat, biblically. Okay? They don't.
Yeah, Eastern Orthodox and the Oriental Orthodox Church has restrictions. That's why I ask these questions.
Yeah, they can say it, but me, I just say, show me this restriction in Scripture. Well, they might go to the Old Testament. Are we under the Old Testament law? No. Good. Show me the New Testament. And that's it. Okay. All right, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get going.
All right, thank you.
All right. Hey, everybody, we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, last quarter of the hour. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. Let's get on with Priscilla from North Carolina. Priscilla, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. Okay.
How are you, Matt?
Oh, I'm fine, by God's grace. Have some coffee next to me and enjoying that. I make good coffee. and getting the privilege here of being able to try and answer questions. So, all right.
The question is, who is Billy Burke, B-U-R-K-E?
Yeah,
and what does he believe?
Yeah, he's a positive confession preacher and associated with the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I don't know too much about him, but my initial reaction is negative. I wouldn't really trust them. Okay, so I know that Kenneth Copeland's very bad. Okay, he's not a good teacher. And so during the break, I was going through looking at the Billy Burke stuff on the website, and I could not find on the website, I could not find a statement of faith. And that's not good. And then it has the crusade itinerary and some miracle mentorship, you know, and healing, sending God's healing signal to the nations. These are all warning flags. When I see stuff like this, I go, that's not good. So a lot of people are ignorant, and they just buy into this stuff. Now, he may be a great guy, I don't know, but from what I'm seeing, it's pretty typical that it's not good. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I was invited to go to one of his meetings, but I said, let me call Mac and find out what he knows about him, because I don't want to leave North Carolina and go all the way to Florida for nothing.
Yeah, he's in Tampa, Florida. And Fort Lauderdale, and I'm looking at his schedule. And so, for example, let's see, what does that do right there? Yeah, so I literally clicked on his website, Your Word for Today TV Ministry, and it took me to a place, Victory Channel, and on there is Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And Kenneth Copeland is a heretic. And if they don't know that Kenneth Copeland's a heretic, then he's not worth his salt. And if he does know,
right,
well, then he's not worth his salt. And if he believes Kenneth Copeland is not a heretic, then he's not worth his salt. So either way, it's not good. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right.
Have a great evening.
God bless you.
God bless.
Okay. All right, let's get to Billy from North Carolina. Billy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I've been a little frustrated with the church and the way it's been operated. So I was sharing this with the members, my frustration, and they said church is a business. And that even frustrated me even more. So I may be wrong. So it's just church be referenced as a business?
No. There's business aspects in a church. Even Jesus, as a the 12, they had money. They had to eat, and you got to do things. Now, I get that, and that requires a certain aspect of business. The church is not a business. Though legally, on paper, it may be considered a 501c3 nonprofit organization business, which has an account, it has money coming in and out, it has to be taxes. So you could say, in that sense, the church is a business. If I were preaching at a church and this topic came up in a Q&A afterwards, I'd say, in the legal sense, the church is a business. The ministerial sense, no, it's not. The church is that local body where a man gets up and preaches the word of truth along with the elders periodically, and who then administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper and church discipline, worship, adoration, tithing is offered as an opportunity for people, and the faithful preaching of God's word. And that's what the church is for, and it's for the glory of God and the equipping of the saints. Ephesians 4, 8 through 12 talks about this, for the building of the body of Christ, for the work of ministry. So we don't call that a business, but there are business aspects to it. So it depends on the context that the person would be saying it. That would be important. Okay?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I said, and I got to argue it down. I said it's got the aspects of a business, but it should not be titled, this is a business, you know, just because out on more frustration. My only other question is church necessary?
Necessary in what way? What?
To attend. Is it necessary to attend a church? If you did online study and other things, is church necessary to attend?
There's a yes and a no. A church is not necessary for salvation. Attending a church is not necessary to be saved. It's not necessary for you to be a knowledgeable Christian. It's necessary to have fellowship, if you want to have fellowship with others. And it's really good to go to church to participate in taking communion and having the joy of fellowship with other believers. So there's degrees of absolute necessary if you want this and not necessary for that. So,
right.
You know, yeah, it just depends on where you're at. There are people who can't go to church. You know, my wife is not able to really to attend church because of her health problems, her physical health problems. So she doesn't go very often. Is it necessary for her to go? No, it's not. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for salvation? No. And her spiritual growth, she reads the Bible, she studies. Occasionally, she listens to me, which, you know, she gets really desperate. But it's not necessary. But normally speaking, yeah, you should go to church. You know, you should. Okay?
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate that. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't off, you know, my way of thinking about the church.
You should go to church. You really should. And it's healthy and it's good. And the reason I go is because I'm supposed to. And I go for the fellowship and communion and to learn things from the pastor. You know, I know a lot, but pastors know a lot too. And so I can always be fed.
Right.
And it's a nice drive up and back and things like that. So I usually go by myself because my wife can't attend, usually. Okay.
Right. Good. Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot for that.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right. Now, next longest waiting is Jermaine from California. Jermaine, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, well, wanted to talk about politics again. No, we don't have much time, but I was very disturbed by it. I watched the RNC and the DNC convention, just so I'm informed, but when pastors make political endorsements, it kind of gives me the creeps. But from what I saw yesterday, it was really particularly disappointing because there was more of a promotion of the LGBT and things that Christians aren't supposed to support. And I'm not saying I'm on either side here. It's just this is different from the Democratic Party that my family grew up with. And
yeah.
I was just curious about the motivations of some of these people. Like, are they even biblical? Because they had these people with the title of pastor and bishop and even some rabbis. But I know people from multiple faiths who do not agree with the stuff that's going on, and they just can't. But is this just selling out?
Let me ask you, what party, political party, in the United States do you think the Antichrist would join?
I have to be honest. I think they joined the current Democratic Party just from what I saw yesterday.
That's the party. That's the
promotion
party
of everything wrong.
It was founded on for the purpose of promoting slavery. They worked against the slaves when they were freed after the Civil War. They invoked the KKK, the Jim Crow laws. They promote socialism. They promote wokeness. Not biblical stuff. They promote LGBTQ, the alphabet army, the mob that is wreaking havoc all over us. They kill the unborn. I don't understand how any knowledgeable Christian who knows about the Democratic Party, I don't understand how anybody who's a Christian could knowledgeably be a Democrat, knowing what it stands for. Now, I'm dead serious. Mm-hmm. And a man in the pulpit needs to say that. And if people get up and leave during the sermon, so be it. Go find a church that'll tickle your ears. But men need to start preaching the truth, and then start saying you can't support anybody who's pro-homosexual and pro-death, who wants to kill the babies in the womb. You cannot do that as a person of God. You should not be supporting them, and you should not be voting for them. I'd say it from the pulpit. Well, you can't talk about that. Then leave if you don't like it. So the Republican Party is not much better. So, no. Yeah. Okay? So,
That's good. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, I get calls from your area from great people that I would love to hang around with. You're one of them. And Janice, another one. And others. I got to get out there next year and just hang out there and meet people and stuff like that, because there's so many wonderful people who have it right before God. Anyway, I'm just saying it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I know I'll have to probably call back tomorrow to get more time on this, but I was very disappointed as an African-American to see what so obviously, in my opinion, was them using people, because a lot of these things didn't really exist within the culture. And now you're using people who used to preach against this stuff. You're using them to prop it up. And I saw one woman say how the vice president encouraged her and her wife. And I'm like, wait, what? And it's very disappointing. Like I said, I'm not attacking people. I'm not here to attack anybody. I pray for everyone's salvation, but it was just enough was enough. I know it's only going to get worse over the next couple of days, but I was just very disappointed at people who did what I think is just selling out. And it looks like they're doing it for political prominence and notoriety versus standing on the word of God, which might make you unpopular, but like you said, so be it.
Jermaine, dude, high five. Man, all the way, man. I'm with you. All right.
I'm with you. Thank you.
And I'd love to sit down with you sometime, if I was ever able to, you know, get a cup of coffee and just talk, because you're my kind of guy. You know, good for you, man. Good for you. Yeah.
All right. God bless.
God bless. All right. We only have 30 seconds left. Jim from Minnesota, we only have 30 seconds, dude. Sorry. But your topic.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
You get a call back tomorrow.
Yeah, the question.
I'm curious. Go ahead.
Sure. I was just going to ask in regard to, I heard one of your podcasts where you talk about chemicals and how if you were to run wires to them and whatever, and how they have different responses that it couldn't rationalize or whatever. My question would be, if you have somebody and you use that type of an argument, and they come back with, well, what about AI and artificial intelligence now can, you know, compute and obviously do stuff and make rational decisions based on their circumstances, basically kind of like we can.
It's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. It has to do with programming. And we're out of time. Call back tomorrow. We've got to talk about that. Good topic. Okay, brother?
Sounds good. Yep.
All right, man.
All right.
Hey, folks, sorry about that. Good conversations. That's right. And hope you continue to listen, even if you don't like what I say. May the Lord bless you. Be back tomorrow by His grace. Talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.